Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Monday, October 28th, 2013. Well, tonight's guest is one-third of the folk trio Isabel Gunn, but Jeremy Zeil's latest project was a conversion of the Heidelberg Catechism from text to liturgical resource. The CD, The Heidelberg Project, which he worked on with his wife Laura Schott-Zeil, is being released to celebrate the 450th anniversary of the Catechism and can be used as a worship resource and meditative listening piece. Jeremy's on the phone with us tonight from his London home to talk about the project. But first, let's listen to Not Go Down, which is one of the tracks from the Heidelberg Project by Jeremy Zeil.
I am overcome, Lord, in the cruel of this world, in the power and souls deceiving that it seeks. On my own I am weak, don't know what to believe, don't know if it's you I'm hearing when it speaks. And so, Lord, uphold us all and make us strong, so that we may not go down, so that we may not go down, so that we may not go down, so that we may not go down.
In my sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and me, never stop attacking everything I see. But there is no defeat, even though I am weak, with the power of your spirit, victory. And so, Lord, uphold us all and make us strong,
so that we may not go down, so that we may not go down, so that we may not go down.
And now to our interview with Jeremy Zeil. Good evening, Jeremy.
Good evening, Robert.
Now, let's just recap a little bit for those people who are listening and they didn't hear the interview we did a while ago, which was based around your work with Isabel Gunn. Yeah. How did you get interested in music and songwriting and that whole aspect of endeavor?
Right. Well, I think I'd have to pay tribute to my mom for that one. She is a piano teacher and a flute teacher, and from a very young age she instilled that love for music on me, going to recorder lessons at age four and taking me to concerts. And music has always been around the house. I'm from a family of four, two brothers and an older sister, and all of us sing and play. And so that definitely comes from my family.
Well, as you were growing in terms of developing your own style and the type of music you you enjoying that, who have been some of your influences along the way?
Like songwriters, you
songwriters,
mean?
Yeah.
So many. I remember answering this last time as well, and it's definitely some of the writers from the 70s and 80s. Bruce Springsteen is a huge influence on my writing. More recently, guys like Ben Harper, into the Christian world, guys like Steve Bell, and friends of mine, Jacob Moon and Glenn Soderholm. I take a lot from those guys as well.
And so a lot of the songwriters who are storytellers as well. I'm sensing that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Story and song. And that's, you know, with different projects with my band Isabel Gunn, that's really what we tried to explore, narrative songwriting, as well, putting ourselves in someone else's shoes maybe, and singing from their perspective. So that's something that I really enjoy doing.
Yeah. I know some of the guys you mentioned, Jacob Boone, Glenn Soderholm, and Steve Bell. I've talked to them in the past. They also cite Bruce Coburn as a key influence as well. Is he in there as well for you as well?
100%, yeah. I mean, the list is long, but Bruce would definitely be in there as well.
Yeah.
As a Canadian icon, for sure, and just his the whole acoustic style of music as well. That's something that I mainly play acoustic guitar, and that's there's just a, you know, just that rootsy sort of folksy feeling to it. So.
Yeah, and I think he's one of these guys who's been underrated as a guitar player.
Oh, totally, yeah.
You know, I've sat in concerts with his and just been totally flabbergasted by what he's doing on the strings.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, I've seen it. The last time I saw him, he was without a band, just by himself.
He sounds like a band, though.
Oh, he sounds like a band, yeah. I mean, this was for over 5,000 people in Victoria Park here in London, and, I mean, it was such a full sound with one guitar. It was just phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, shifting from that, I'm looking at the new project that you've been doing, the Heidelberg Project. How did you get involved with that?
Well, that's a really cool story, actually. With Isabel Gunn, there's a song that appears on our first EP, which is called Not My Own. And, that's based on question and answer number one from the Heidelberg Catechism. And I wrote that almost 10 years ago now. After a church service in Hamilton, Ontario, where the question and answer was used, and it goes, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that I am not my own, but I belong body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And it goes on from there. I was just so inspired by that I wrote the song Not My Own. And even though it was 10 years ago, it still appears in our set list. And so it would have been early 2012, where we were touring and releasing the most recent album, Losing the Ground, with Isabel Gunn, and we were playing in Guelph, and introduced the song Not My Own, and we played it, and I received a correspondence a couple of weeks later from someone who had been at the concert. I didn't actually meet that person, saying that... sort of suggesting, you know, what about more songs inspired by the Heidelberg Catechism? For two reasons. One, because it's the 450th anniversary coming up in 2013. And two, I know of a trust fund called the Reed Trust that might be able to fund something like this. And so that perked my ears up right away, obviously. And I thought about it, and it was just at a time where we knew that we were going to be taking a bit of a sabbatical from Isabel Gunn, because my wife, she's at home. We have a 6-month-old daughter now, and so we're taking some time off from that. And so I thought, you know what, I'll try it. I'll write a couple of songs and see if I'm truly inspired to do so. The whole project just started shaping from there, and we ended up applying for a grant, and we received a grant in 2012 to do the writing, and it ended up becoming more of a, as opposed to just like a singer-songwriter project, writing songs for corporate worship, for the church as a resource to be able to sing. And so that was really the vision behind it. Even though, as you'll hear, listening to some of the songs, they certainly are done in my own style. So this is how I would interpret the songs, but they're written in a way that many different worship teams would be able to play them however they want to. So that's a little bit of the history behind how that started.
Yeah, I want to get into a little bit of the detail on all of that in after the break. But before we go to break, one of the questions I need to ask is, can you give us a little bit of background what the Heidelberg Catechism is? Because there may be some of our listeners out there that aren't familiar with this.
Absolutely, yeah. And I would totally expect that. The Heidelberg Catechism was it's a theological document, basically, that was commissioned in Heidelberg, Germany, by a gentleman named Frederick III, who wanted to outline clearly the newfound Protestant faith. This was about 50 years after Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the wall. And so the Protestant Reformation was in full swing still from the Catholic Church. And so this was written by a number of different theologians at the time. It doesn't, the actual authors, we don't know actually who wrote what, but it was a group of theologians in 1563 in Heidelberg, Germany, which is why it's called the Heidelberg Catechism. And it's basically a statement of faith, and it's relevant today just because it's based on the same truths that have always been, the gospel truth, and it's beautiful poetry. And so what we attempted to do is to breathe new life into that document.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break and come back and talk a little about how you actually did breathe that life into that. So we're going to take that quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest, musician Jeremy Zeil. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
With gold, not with silver, only with his precious blood. He redeemed us, brought us out of empty life to life in full. This is why we call him Lord. This is why we call him Lord. He has set us free from the tyranny and bought us body and soul to be his very own. He has set us free from the tyranny and bought us body and soul to be his very own. Silver, only with his precious blood, gave himself for us, shared our humanness, destroyed evil with his love. And this is why we call him Lord. And this is why we call him Lord. Set us free from the tyranny and bought us body and soul to be his very own. He set us free.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to He Has Set Us Free from the Heidelberg Project by Jeremy Zeil. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Jeremy. Now, can you sort of walk us through the process when you got to that point where you started composing? Like, did you have to do some research and some theological study in that on the background of the catechism and all the different things? Like, how did you pull this all together?
Well, that's a great question. What I did first, well, first of all, we had a team of people. I did all of the writing, but I had and still have theological supervisors who are two pastors in the Christian Reformed Church here in London, who helped me through any sort of questions that I had about representing the words of the catechism properly. basically what I did is I opened the catechism and I started reading it. And the document that I have has all 52 question and answers. It was written, or sorry, not 52 question and answers, 52 Lord's Days, with over 100 question and answers. Basically each Lord's Day for 1 week of the calendar year. And I went through and I read it and, you know, picked out what was inspired, what I was inspired by. Basically what I set out to do wasn't to offer an exact representation of what the catechism was, but like I said before, just breathe new life into it. And so if there were certain words that jumped out or something that really resonated with me, then I would begin writing from there. For example, we just heard, "He has set us free." And that's taken almost directly from the catechism and with very little change at all. And the words are there. And, I mean, the songs just started taking shape. And it was really, you know, I really just felt more like an instrument than anything else. A lot of times it would happen where I would look at the catechism and I would be sitting there with my guitar and it would just start coming out. And I would look back and there was the song. And yeah, it was a really prayerful experience as well. Mm-hmm. Throughout that whole time.
Well, you mentioned about how you were reading through it and things would jump out at you and that. And I guess, and I look at you, you sent me some of the lyric sheets that accompany this. And in there, you highlight the lyrics that you've pulled word for word out of the text of the catechism. As a songwriter, was that a challenge for you to actually take words that had already been written, words that had already been set down, and then, you know, put them into the context of a song? Was that freeing or was that restrictive? How did you feel as a songwriter pulling that together?
You know, it's interesting because that's what I was a little bit nervous about at first, because this is a specific task, right? And so I've never really taken on that task of setting existing words to music. But I actually found it really freeing. It was liberating. I didn't feel it constricting at all. It was freeing in the sense that I didn't have to worry about the theology of it, or I suppose coming up with an idea for a song. I mean, it was there. The material was there already, right? And so I really just had to use my craft to form the music around the words, and I found it surprisingly easy to do sometimes, just with the poetic language of the catechism that was already there. So yeah, it's something that I thought maybe at first would have been restricting was actually freeing, which was quite interesting.
So this was definitely more of a lyrics first element rather than music first coming through.
Yeah, exactly, right. I mean, because it's there. I'm sitting with the catechism open. The way that it's lined out, it has the question and answers, and then it has the scripture references below it with the actual passages printed, which was very helpful, because then I would glance back and forth and really understand what they were trying to convey from scripture, right? And so some of the lyrics that are highlighted in red are directly from the catechism, but then there's other verses that are taken directly from scripture as well, that I just sort of picked and choose as I went. So
now in doing all of this, and you said you weren't doing like an exact representation of the catechism, so that you've got all the questions in there and the whole thing. How did you sort of decide which elements you were keeping in, and have you sort of thought of the fact that out there may be some person who has a certain part of the catechism that they like and they're disappointed that that wasn't part of this project?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, that's a good time to let you know now, too, that this is actually a two-album project. So I've just released the first 11 songs, but there's over 20 that have been written already. And we just have to follow through with the teaching phase of this. But I will be recording more, so it will touch on more parts of the catechism. Basically at the start, what I had to do was just dive in. I had to dive in, and because it is a large document, and I just had to go from there and navigate my way through. And basically at this point, I'm no longer in the writing phase, but I've gone through every single question and answer. For some of them, taken lyrics from four or five different question and answers from the catechism and put it into one song. And so I've gone through the whole document. Now, there are a few that haven't been quoted, but it is almost comprehensive in terms of what has been quoted. Now, there are overall themes and stuff, like the theme of deliverance. There's a section on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Lord's Supper, baptism, and the Lord's Prayer, and all of those major themes have been touched on with the songs. But there will be, I'm sure, parts that people who are familiar with it, if there's a part that they thought, maybe that should have been in there. Hey, send me an email. Maybe I can write another one.
Well, let's take one final quick break and come back and finish up our conversation.
No
so we are going to take that final break and wrap up the conversation with singer-songwriter Jeremy Zeil. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
He shouldered the curse which lay on me. He suffered in death upon a tree. He sustained righteous anger against my sin, so that he, though innocent, might be condemned. He was led like a lamb to be slaughtered.
You've been listening to This Is Love from the Heidelberg Project by Jeremy Zeil. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to finish up our conversation with Jeremy. How has doing this project had, what kind of effect has this had on your own spiritual life as you've gone through and become more inculcated with the Heidelberg Catechism itself?
Well, on many different levels. As a songwriter, this is the first project that I've done that has been intended for corporate worship, which is a different place than me doing concerts with Isabel Gunn or on my own. And so there's that sensitivity that was in mind. It was a very powerful experience just going through that prayerfully and being used by the Spirit and praying before I was writing, that I could be an instrument to reflect the truth and the beauty of this document. There was definite, like a deeper level of understanding of the gospel represented by the Heidelberg Catechism. It really, for me, it struck me some of the language that that was in there that was just so so truthful and so sometimes hard hitting. If you, for example, I don't know if you're going to play this or not, but one of the songs, "Not Go Down," it's pretty the lyrics there. it's pretty revolutionary, and it still is. It was then, and it still is now. And I was excited and challenged by that as well. And I hope that people are, when they listen to it and sing it in churches as well.
So what's next for the Heidelberg? What's next for you and the project itself?
Right now we're just about to do the CD release concert here in London on November 2nd at Talbot Street Church. However, we've had the CD in our possession for about a month now, and I've visited a worship conference at Redeemer College and done a workshop there, as well as visited a couple of churches and taught the songs. And basically what's next is I will be visiting different churches across Ontario, maybe across Canada, it depends, but teaching the songs and showing people how they can play them in their own way. These are the songs on the album that I've interpreted my own way, but really it's about enabling people to be able to sing the words of the catechism in their own churches. So that we're already booking into next year in terms of visiting churches, and so it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it, and the response has been very positive so far.
Great. And where can people learn more about the Heidelberg Project?
Right now, I knew you were going to ask that. We don't actually have a website up right now, Robert. But your best bet is to go to imago.ca, or is it imagoarts.ca? Do you know that, Robert?
I think it's Imago Arts, yeah.
I think it's Imago Arts. It's a project that's under the umbrella of Imago. We're working on getting a website up and running for that. Check it out. Google my name or send me an email at jeremyzeil@gmail.com, and I'd certainly be able to help you with any questions that you had.
Great. Jeremy, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Hey, no problem, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thanking my guest, Jeremy Zeil. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selahministries.ca. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selahministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selah13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selah Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.